right, so we're going to get into this. We're going to pray. Holy Spirit, thank you for your word. Thank you that this is the day that you've made. We just thank you for it to be quickened. We just thank you for a spirit of wisdom. We thank you, Lord, for opening our understanding. I thank you, Lord, this is a very, very significant, important year. We thank you. We want to be like sons of Issachar who recognize the seasons and the times. We thank you, Lord, and so we can respond accordingly in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so today it's we're talking about some abstract things. It's a very supernatural word, but I'm sure I've got to language it up so you catch it. But especially if you weren't here Tuesday night, I just want to use Tuesday night as a bit of a springboard. And we're talking 2024. It's not necessarily about the Gregorian calendar. It's about the number 24. And so there's something about 24 elders, 24 hours in the day, and the way we govern over time. And that's not a cute word. That was an abstract word I got just after Christmas. But today we're going to continue on from Tuesday night, but we're talking about governing, especially over time. This is really, really important. So I had the very good fortune of a little while ago turning 55. And when you get that many kilometres on the dashboard, you start to see things. You notice things. You notice patterns because there's a greater opportunity for things to repeat. Now, I remember my wife and I are, praise God, we are out of this stage in our life. But I do remember that when we used to always be taking our kids to birthday parties of other kids and different things like that. And as fun as that is, and I remember we go down to, I don't know what it's called now, it used to be called Magic Mountain. What's it called now? Down at Glenelg? The beach house. Okay. And so, you know, a rite of passage for every child is the merry-go-round. And what would happen, you put them on the merry-go-round. Now, sometimes when they're really young, you sit on there with them. What happens is that when you put them on and you're watching them, you might be with someone else like this, and they're going like this. And you're completely bored and you're talking to someone next to you, but you got to get the timing right for when they come around. And it's like this. And also it's like, anyway, so last weekend. But when you're on the merry-go-round yourself, you see all these markers like going, oh yeah, we saw that a second ago. Go round and round. And that's what life can be like. Is you see these markers, and we're not talking just generalized. I'm finding that because we are in we're in Kairos, it's a quality time, is that there are some really, really freaky patterns I'm seeing. And so time is going in a direction, but it is cyclical. And so we know probably the most accurate thing we've heard in recent times, unfortunately, would be George Orwell's 1984. Because he built that on an algorithm that came out of studying the Spanish Civil War and the Bolshevik Revolution. So accurate, from groupthink to doublethink to Big Brother. And so that is an algorithm. And maths isn't something that you invent, it's something you discover. And so we start to see this. I think some political pundits, they have a similar version. It's called the Fourth Turning. We know the Book of Judges. In the Old Testament, Judges 2, and you had, when the judge was alive, Israel would prosper, but then they would die, and then they would behave worse, or even worse than before the judge actually delivered them. So they were in these cycles of time descending. What we have to do is we have to make sure that our lives, we're not stuck on a merry-go-round, because you can easily just go, well, someone is older and wiser. I've met a lot of older and not wiser people. You got the story of the two people going for the job, the general manager retires, and then you've got these everyone gets promoted up and they're interviewing people. And for the general manager position, there's a gamut of managers. One of the managers, he's going to, it comes down to two last people. There's a manager who's been employed there for 3 years, and another manager has been there for 2 years. The one with the 3 years is quite confident. So he actually goes into the interview and touts his wares, and this is why he'd be good for the job, etc. For the guy who's been employed there 3 years as a manager, believing he's going to become a general manager. And then the other guy comes along and he does his interviews 2 years. They get back to them after a week and they inform both of them that the man who had the 2 years experience, he's the one that got the position. And the person who had 3 years at that company was aghast, asked to talk to one of the key people interviewing them and saying, I need to understand, why did you give the job for that man who's got 1 year, less year than I do? He said, I thought it was quite obvious I would get the position. They said, well, we want to explain to you this. This is why the person we employed has 2 years experience, whereas you have 1 year experience three times over. And so this is actually something with life, because just getting older isn't a guarantee of learning and being promoted. And this is such a key year. We cannot afford to fall back into old patterns. And so you have wheels within wheels. You have your own cycles, and then you have cycles within your family, and then you have cycles in your community, and then you have ones of the nation, and then you have ones of the globe. It's quite incredible. I personally believe that to be promoted where you come into greater jurisdiction, greater ease of access to blessing, etc., I believe one has to engage and start to manifest a level of personal transformation. When you go after, you say, look, I've got to be, I've got to actualize my goals more, or I've got to be more disciplined or whatever. When you start to engage that personal transformation, things are put in motion that are bigger than you. Rather than just, when's my opportunity going to open up? It doesn't work like that. Is that we and the Lord hold the keys. He's given us the keys of the kingdom. So I believe we go after personal transformation. We get off that merry-go-round and we start to get up into a much higher place. And so I'm convinced, because I know that for me, sometimes the Lord will say, he'll allow you to be completely dissatisfied with your current station. Now, one of the things that I want to talk about that's a very, very pointed, but a lot of people identify with this, especially when you've got a few more kilometers on the dashboard. Because, just a supernatural dynamic that takes place. So you go in a cycle, and on that cycle is a certain level of blessing, a certain level of phenomena, okay? And then what happens, you go, I'm actually not satisfied with this. I actually feel I need to be a higher station in life. I believe you engage personal transformation on the front end. That's what I'm convinced about. But what we have here, what's fascinating, is that the Bible clearly teaches that there are things called thresholds. Now, one of the things, if we were to remember, there's so much power in language. In Revelation 4, you hear, behold, I saw a door standing open in heaven. But Jesus says to one of the churches in Revelation 3, he said, behold, I've set before you an open door. Now, it might not manifest as a physical door that you can see, or even if you have a dream of walking through a door, maybe, maybe not. But it's a threshold. And so we need to know, for example, at the moment, this is a very, very clear example of a threshold. If you're outside right now, it's going to be a bit warm. You're going to make sure you don't want to be in direct sunlight for too long. And what happens is that there's something that takes place when you walk outside and you cross the threshold in here with the benefits of air conditioning and so on and so forth. That's a really basic picture. But life is full of those opportunities. If you don't recognize it, you'll get stuck on a cycle and it'll drive you nuts. The problem with that is we see the wilderness wanderings with Israel, and most of them died in those cycles. When they were called to cross a threshold into the promised land, and they didn't recognize those opportunities. So thresholds, and for want of a better word, we hear another word, we call it breakthrough. But another way is, it says in Psalms, promotion does not come from the east or from the west, it comes from the Lord. So if we don't cross these thresholds, what happens, we get stuck in cycles. Again, there is crazy cycles that I see. Some are just standard, but some are very, very supernatural. If you have an issue in your life that you don't deal with, God loves you so much, he will keep giving you the opportunity to deal with it. If you don't if you don't get the adequate marks to graduate from grade three, grade three will become the best 5 years of your life. So because if we get promoted when those things aren't dealt with, coming into greater responsibility will crush us, or we will destroy ourselves and others. This is why this is divine wisdom, cycles of time. As Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. And one of the things we're trying to do at the moment, we're seeing in the world, is a cycle of forgetting. Is that there's incredible discoveries of technology, but I tell you what, the dumbing down through what we're seeing at the moment, education, pushing ideology, crazy, crazy stuff, is that they're trying to establish cycles of forgetting as opposed to harnessing greater knowledge and information and bring humanity to a better place. One of the ways is we always have to remember the Lord. Always have to remember the Lord. But what I want to do is I want to give you some examples of thresholds. Crossing the Red Sea. I talked about that Tuesday night. The River Jordan. Taking the Promised Land. Okay, the day of Pentecost. Jesus said, okay, before his ascension, they said, Jesus, can you just tell us when you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And they went, yeah, nah. He said, look, this is what you're going to do. You're going to wait on me. You're going to wait, right, until power from on high comes upon you. Then you're going to be my witnesses into the world. That was a threshold. 10 days, over 100 people, and you're going, we got his word, but there would have been unbelief in there. You know, it's very important who you sit next to. Can you imagine you're waiting on the Lord and it's day eight and all of a sudden you found out the chair right next to you is Thomas's? You know, I know I put my hand in his sign and my finger in his sign and his hand, but oh, I don't know. You know, in Matthew 28, they saw the Lord, they went and worshipped him. They saw the Lord and it said, and some doubted. What the heck? Shows you that unbelief is a heart. It's not a five senses and ocular reality. So that was a threshold, and obviously they passed day of Pentecost. Everything was reversed. There's something got reversed in Pentecost that took place in Babel, because there was unity, but there was different languages supernaturally, and there was a gathering that led to a diaspora, different to Babel, obviously. But then you have Peter, who denied the Lord three times, you know. Here's Peter saying, Lord, I'll die with you. And he goes, yeah, that's not going to happen. You're going to deny me. You're going to not deny me three times. And so then Peter was the spokesperson on the day of Pentecost. That was a threshold. It was a threshold for Peter and for the church. So then after a while, when God's raising the dead and cripples are being healed, incredible power, then a thing happened called Percy on the payroll. So Percy on the payroll is persecution. Where all of a sudden is the Sanhedrin, and that they're not happy with it. They came up against persecution, and that is a threshold. What are you going to do if you're persecuted? You know what? We really aren't persecuted in Australia. Pause and meditate. Yet. We're not. It breaks our little heart if someone doesn't like us. Someone says mean things, you know. But Lord, I want to be on good terms with all men. Let me know how that works out. Is that that's the recipe for failure? Is trying to please everybody. So they came up to a threshold, which was persecution. And this is what they didn't do. They didn't get together, shake like a loose tooth and say, Lord, make the bad man stop. They actually said, Lord, we want to transcend this setback. We ask for boldness. That was a threshold. That was the right response to coming up to a threshold. These thresholds happen all the time. We talked about Tuesday night. We just know that the old custom is on the wedding night, bride gets carried over the threshold by the husband, the groom. These days, who knows who's carrying who over, but it's a worry. And so I really believe too, because I didn't have the language then that I do have now. But I remember for me, 2020 was a massive threshold year. And we didn't know what was going on. It was just like, just crazy. It's just preaching. And I remember coppers coming through here and checking on masks. And it's so many crazy things. And you got people who can go down to, you know, you could go down and pretty much set up camp at Dan Murphy's, right? But you can't do church. And there's a lot of people that were happy to not do church. It's called being lazy. Oh, so this is the thing. I don't think we understand the privilege of what it is to get together. Now, remember, is church isn't just meetings after meetings, but never meeting is a problem. And I remember that we just didn't know where this is, you know, Nixon. Like they're working out social distancing is a total scam. I remember it's when we had 20 seats in here. It was like first class in Emirates. And we know God's really moving when we go back to Jetstar economy. So, but you're going for it. And then it's like, and then I don't know whether this was Victoria or New South Wales here. You can go to church, but you can't sing. We're talking. And it's like, and we actually were just connecting with the Lord on this, but it just did my head in. But what happened, 2020 was a threshold year for this church because a sound was coming out of here that wasn't sort of, it was more milk and honey than soy and oat milk and treacle. And so that was a threshold for us, but we didn't know it at the time. Because you actually have to fight for peace. There's a big difference between peace and appeasement. I don't want conflict. Well, because you've been put on an earth where there is darkness, and you need to lean into the light to dispel the darkness. So 2020 was a threshold year. I was just saying over here before, 2024 is another threshold year. We're in a threshold year. You actually have, right now, the collective West is poking a bear in the eye. You go, what do you mean? NATO. You go, was sent an article yesterday, I think. Who knows whose money they have. But Sweden are no longer neutral. Sweden are just joining NATO. And they are poking that bear, Russia, in the eye. They are looking to pick a fight, I'm telling you. And so these things are utterly preventable if we wake up before the fact in Jesus' name. Can someone say amen? This is a threshold year. I remember watching the Event 201, the John Hopkins Medical Center, and it simulated a hypothetical COVID outbreak, October, set up by the Gates Foundation. Didn't take much to work out, and you're seeing all these images from China of people having these fits and breaking down and this wave of fear through the media, and you can smell. Seriously, with a discerning of spirits, you can smell fecal matter. You can. I'm like, oh, all of a sudden, the collective Western is clutching their pearls. Oh, like this. It became a threshold year, and it separated people who have a purpose and a cause as opposed to people who just want to survive. There is no glory on surviving. There's no glory on it. The only glory is for living for the purposes of the Lord. So, okay, thresholds. So we got cycles, we want to break those. We don't want to die in those low-level cycles. We want to always be coming into promotion. Those are called open doors or thresholds. What's interesting, so firstly, we're going to get straight down to brass tacks. How do we cross thresholds into promotion? I'm glad you're asking. Firstly, one of the things is that because not all seasons are the same, is that thresholds are a very strategic moment. So powers of darkness understand it. They tend to congregate around thresholds. So when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he passed with flying colors. He didn't even answer the questions. He just put the word of God out there. But then it said the enemy departed for a more opportune time or another threshold. So that's what happens. We get these opportunities for promotion, whether it's an abstract spiritual thing or you've actually got a job or going into a much higher a station in society, these thresholds are very, very real. And when we start to recognize that, now one of the things is this, is that in regards to fallen entities, one of the things they can do is make people feel pressure. When you're coming up to a threshold, you feel it before you come to it because you start to feel pressure. Is it completely an internal locus of control? Or is it circumstance? It can be both. When stuff goes hectically weird, pressure and chaos are the two things that I find that meet many people on thresholds. Because if you can, look, I would love, I'm so convinced of this, I'd love to sit down with anyone to debunk what I'm saying. I really would. I just see cycles continually. And you can get older, but not wiser, or you can get promoted. You see people who are just so, have a look at Javier, 10, 11 years old in the Lord, changing the nation. The other people getting offended because someone didn't say hi in the foyer. It is what it is. And so these thresholds are strategic times of pressure. And sometimes it feels like you're hemmed in. And breaking those cycles of whether they're habits or wrong thinking or negativity or whatever. The problem is, if you come up to a threshold and then you choose to back off and you find a false refuge in something, you could be going into crossing a threshold or going through a door. And what you do, rather than just say, God, everything I have is on the table, what do you want to change? We retreat and we start going into an echo chamber where people are just going to give us confirmation bias. Oh, you don't need that. You don't need that. This, that, and the other. And you've come up to a threshold and you've gone back. Here's the problem. When I was in my late 20s, seeking the Lord, I'm saying, Lord, speak to me. What do you want me to do? He said, I want you to set up a professional tennis coaching business. That's what I did. And I want you to go back to university. And I'm like, cool, tennis business, great. And I was meant to go back into university, do psychology. But I didn't. I put it off because I just wanted to coach tennis and wanted to travel the world, do my own missions trips and stuff. But what happened then, got married, was in the ministry, and then that cycle came around again to do uni. This time, it cost me more. If God is telling you to deal with something and you step back away from the threshold, back onto the cycle, it will come around, but it'll cost you more. Because I had two young children, I was battling sickness, churches exploding, we're in outpouring, Rachel's doing law, and now I'm studying in my spare time. There are times it felt like it was going to come out of my marrow. If I listened to the Lord and it was open earlier, it wouldn't have cost me so much. Cycles will come around. You can't avoid them. They'll cost you more. So we can't procrastinate. We can't try and find false refuges and things when God says, I want to deal with something. And so you know that this is a very interesting, I want to paint a picture of the invisible world. This is very, very, it's actually two-dimensional. It's snakes and ladders. And right at the moment, if we recognize what we're going through, we'll land on one of those ladders and go up. But if we don't, if we come back from the threshold, we'll step on one of those snakes' heads and actually go down. And the ladders are getting longer and the snakes are getting longer. This is not a time in history to fall asleep at the wheel, friends. What happens, it's like a polemic. It's becoming, there's two opposites. Arise, shine, for your light has come, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Behold, darkness shall cover the earth, deep darkness the people, but his light and his glory will be seen over you. Right now, it's like Abraham or Lot. There's a separation. The Western derivative of Christianity expired in 2019, where we didn't really have to stand for anything. We could just go with the flow. So what I want to do is I want to give a supernatural picture of how to cross a threshold, and Scripture is full of them. And we're going to start with Judges chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. And it says, now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, Who shall be first to go up for us against the Canaanites to fight against them? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Indeed, I have delivered the land into his hand. He was the tip of the spear. So Judah said to Simeon, his brother, come up with me to my allotted territory that we may fight against the Canaanites, and I will likewise go with you to your allotted territory. And Simeon went with him. Then Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand, and they killed 10,000 men at Bezek. Now, the word Bezek here means lightning. And so we got the, obviously, that can you know, we're talking about thunder and lightning, verdicts coming out of the throne room, etc. But what you have is, I want to focus on Judah. Judah means praise. To cross a threshold, you have to change your language first. You have to change what you're saying. I'm not necessarily into the little red fire engine phenomena. I think I can. But it's better than I know I can't. We have to change our speech. Your speech goes ahead of you. Why do you think there's so much social engineering changing speech? If we can change people's concepts and ideologies and vocabulary, then change in that direction is inevitable. We have to be intentional about changing our speech. So Judah means praise. When you're feeling pressure and you know you're crossing over the Jordan, we need to cultivate praise. You go, but these are just words. No, they're not. Because words carry life and death. Words are vehicles, they have spiritual substance, and they make a way for us. It says, be careful with what you say. Do not be ensnared by your lips. Don't let things be a witness against you. So the first thing to do is, if you're coming up to a threshold of pressure, start to praise God and speak the answer. Can someone say amen? Amen. That's the first thing we're meant to do. Because we just start, oh, I'm under pressure. No. Start to, you know, your brain is quite a remarkable organ. Because it can only think one thing at a time. And if you're busy praising God and changing your speech, you don't have time to think about a negative thought. You start thanking him. So you send praise out in front of you. And that's what happened there. And so what I found is you follow your words. You follow your words. Now, the other thing too, you don't just follow your words, but it says in Psalm 22 that God dwells in the praises of Israel, or the praises of his people. When you cultivate praise for the Lord, he dwells like in the cloud, like in the cloud of incense. Okay, he dwells there. And when you're going over a threshold, you are in the presence of God. He's attracted to your words. And this is actually not rocket science, but in the heat of battle, it takes commitment. When on the inside of you is going, I want to whinge. I want to complain. I want someone to feel sorry for me. That, don't worry, that's just the ugly part of you, okay? I want someone, you know, I'm a victim. What happens, the Lord's saying, he said, you know what, if you lean in, I'll even lift up your head. And you'll see me. And what happens, you start to create a place where God can supernaturally manifest to you. Now, what I want to do is I want to share a story that has all the different mechanics of what we're talking about. And there was a guy who knew a little bit about taking territory. His name was the Apostle Paul. He knew a bit. So let's start with Acts 16, 6 to 10. It says here, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden. Look at this. Go out and preach the gospel everywhere. The Holy Spirit forbid them to speak in Asia. That's what it says here. They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. This is why you've got to be Spirit-led. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. It's sort of like, can you imagine a bit religious spirit gets a hold of you and goes, no, we must speak to every creature, Lord. You know, like, and the Lord goes, don't. No. This is not the time. The time's all wrong. I understand what I'm doing. I run the church, the Holy Spirit says. So he forbid them to speak in Asia. So then what happened? When they came to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So they actually tried to disobey the Lord. It's sort of like, don't preach in Asia. We'll see about that. So passing to Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. This is really key. What we've got now is a setup for a threshold crossing. Because they'd been, so when they say don't preach in Asia, they weren't doing crusades in the Philippines. They were actually speaking in Turkey, so Asia Minor, okay? And Galatia's in Turkey and those other places. And now the Lord's saying, Paul, I'm going to use you to introduce the gospel to Europe. This is how significant this is. This is a threshold crossing. And so we know in this story, as they, him and Silas went to go to the synagogue to preach, a woman with a spirit of divination or python, which is also a threshold guardian, she started saying, these guys are preaching the way of the Most High God, etc. Every day. But she was carrying a demonic spirit and Paul cast it out of her. The problem is that that created a problem where they cooked up some false charges against Paul as they were coming, these people are coming against our customs. So threshold, the Holy Spirit says, no more Asia, Europe. Come to Europe. So they're like this. And then there's a spirit of python greets, or divination spirit, fortune telling. He casts it out. And then it stirred up all sorts of legal trouble. Then they didn't just throw them in prison, they beat them with rods. So if we can continue to Acts 16, 23 to 34. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul, with a loud voice, saying, Do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, ran in and fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. He took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and his family were baptized. Now, when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. So we've got a threshold moment. Use this as a formula for your life. The Lord doesn't want you to die in your cycles. He doesn't want you to get stuck in the same. Pressure comes, there's an invitation, an invisible door, promotion, and engage it through praising God. Engage it initially through your words. Keep your tongue, hold your peace. Make sure the rudder on the ship is going to go through that threshold and not do a hard left or even go back. We have here a supernatural invasion. I mean, tell me, I've seen enough. Have I been in an earthquake? I've been in tremors. Philippines, like, what the heck? I do remember one in Adelaide. My gosh, I know, it was just a little cuddle, I know. When you see the, but I remember it sounded like a 747, it was a Friday night about 12 o'clock, and it was like a 747 swooped down over my driveway and the whole wall shook. I got a guy I met in Santiago. So they build their condominiums, their skyscrapers, a bit of flex. And he was on maybe the 20th floor. And there was, I think, gosh, 8 or 9 on the Richter scale. And the top of the building's going, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. And I said, how bad was it? And he goes, let's put it this way. Our refrigerator left the kitchen, was thrown down the hallway to the other end of the house. So you don't get earthquakes that just open doors and break chains. There was supernatural intervention. And this is where we find the Lord. We find him when we're crossing a threshold like never before, because he is the Lord our banner. He is the Lord our deliverer. He is the Lord our provider. And so this is why, please have the mindset to navigate pressure. The rest is window dressing. You don't know what anyone is like until they're under pressure. You know, you've got people really nice, the next one, you know. Seriously. If you're in business with them or whatever, it's just a whole nother deal. And I've seen, now here's an interesting thing. When I was prepping for this, I was thinking nearly every major threshold I've crossed, the major component was praising God. Nearly every time. When the word of the Lord came to me and said, I'm going to give you a law firm, and we had supernatural startup grace, and clients are pouring in, God's blessing it, and then just dried up. And setting up the law firm was a threshold, but then the enemy coming in and just shutting it down, that was a threshold to cross. In other words, the Lord was saying, are you going to trust me for your provision? Now you get people and they, oh yes, I'm trusting God, and they're passive. Trusting God, waiting on God's not passive. To wait on God means you get bound together. That's what waiting on God means. It's not sort of like you're at a bus stop going, well, one day more clients will come in, cool, just trust the Lord. That's not trusting the Lord. Trusting the Lord is active. Now, it's not trying to move his hand and being manipulative, but I knew that the Lord had called us into law in that season. What happened was that just all dried up. So I went back to that word, and for 3 days, all I did was say, God, you're so good. You are so good. Thank you so much for calling us into this business. You opened the door. You gave us grace. I praised him for about 3 hours one day. The next day, 2 hours. The third day, I'm praising God because we're coming over a threshold, only 1 hour. And I had that vision, and the Lord said, I've blessed you. I've blessed you. That was a Friday. Told Rachel, on Monday or Tuesday, a whole flood of clients came in. And that's how we did the law firm. It's constantly coming up to thresholds, but you come up to a threshold and you praise the Lord. You send that out in front of you. You go, that sounds really easy. It does sound easy. But when you're under pressure, you hear what I'm saying? Then you know what's inside of you. Now, here's the point. It's not about promotion per se. It's about through that threshold, God is taking rubbish out of the inside of you that will not be able to make it to the other side. That is one of the major reasons. If you were a hectic whinger and negative, and you were heading up a corporation or a nation, your negativity could sink a whole nation. So going through that threshold, you're praising God, and he goes, I'll have some of that. I'll take that off of you. Can you give me that, please? That's what it looks like. This is the wisdom of God. He's a genius. Let me tell you what you don't want. You never want to be promoted prematurely where you're not prepared. It'll destroy you. But you don't want to die in the wilderness. And so you've got to send your praise out the praise of God out in front of you. I've just, again and again and again, seasons of complete intentionality. And you go, okay, let's get into some mechanics. Get out the Psalms. Start looking up the Psalms. Read them out. Sing them. Play worship music. Praise God to worship, whatever. But as long as it's coming out your jolly mouth. Because it has to be spoken. Spoken words carry power. It's not, I'm thinking praise. Even the demons are going, what is he doing? It's got to come out your mouth. Even what's confronting is when you're sort of like bound up in formality, even praising God in a room on your own is confronting. But you know what's really interesting? And I do believe this to this day. The most powerful things you'll ever hear come out your own mouth. Come out your own mouth about yourself. All right? So here we go. Now, here's the problem we have with praise. Praise isn't the problem. We're the problem. We've turned worship and praise into singing. People come in, oh, that was a great service this morning. Do you know what? A throne of goosebumps was prepared for you and lifted you into a transcendent dimension of goosebumps. That's not praise. That's called a good service. I don't really like this song. That's exactly why we picked it. And so, see, singing is the vehicle, but there's no substance on it. Now, we've got to praise God, pressure, thresholds. This stuff's so real. When I've crossed thresholds, it's like things I used to find hard, I find easy. I've got more favor. I just, more ease. I believe for more. Like, this is real. This is not some sort of cosmic board game, but it sort of is. You read Pilgrim's Progress, right? Process. You read that, and from the Slough of Despair, etc., right? But you start to see it like that, and you go, oh my gosh, because I don't want to go back to go and do $100 again, or go to jail and don't collect $200. So we've turned praise into singing. That's not what it's about. Singing is a vehicle, but we've got to put the substance in there. And this is the word that Rachel got for this year. I got 24 elders, 24 hours. She got this word, 2 Samuel 24:24. And it's this. Then the king said to Araunah, no, but I will surely buy it from you for a price. Nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God with that which costs me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. That became the site of Solomon's temple, became the region where our Lord was crucified. What you have here, David says, I'm not going to give anything to the Lord that costs me nothing. How do you cross thresholds? Sacrifice. Unless everything in your life is 100% the Lord, be careful because you're about to get called to heaven. There's stuff in our life that we don't need, in fact, is destroying us. And God only ever asks from us the things that are actually keeping us earthbound, keeping us down. This is so important because you actually have, just put Hebrews 13 up. Let's do that. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise. That's very interesting because we're priests. The sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. It costs us something. This is the cool thing. You're going, do you know what, Todd? I feel pressure already and I didn't even know about this threshold stuff. You're probably at one. We corporately are in a threshold place. You got things, I don't know where it's all at. I haven't been up to speed. Misinformation, disinformation, George Orwell, Bill. You got all sorts of stuff you would not believe that's being tabled right now. And we're sort of going, this stuff's really happening. That stuff, there's so many things taking place on a geopolitical level everywhere. And sons of Issachar realize we've got to get cracking. For me, I have to double do this. I have to do this for my life and for the church's life. That's why I need to be in double portion. I can't be, the church is kicking massive goals and I'm stuck in a low level cycle. And I could be doing great, but not necessarily. So I've got to, this whole thing works twice for me. And so sacrifice is an indispensable reality when praising God. It costs us, to be honest, it costs us everything. But the fruit of it, remember our goal. We, in our brain, it is about the next generation. The next generation. I love the thought of a bunch of people who've been saved 20, 30 years having revival. But I don't believe that is the top just cause anymore, because people can have revival whenever they feel like it if they think that's how it works. But you have a generation that has been lied to, intimidated, terrorized, manipulated, groomed, and set up for failure. And this is a reality. And so we actually have to make sure for their sake that we're not stuck in cycles, otherwise it's just empty words hitting empty heads. And we've seen too much of that rhetoric. And so this is why we're in a threshold year like 2020. But if we recognize we're only in March, and I feel like I feel like I've just come out of October. It is what it is. So here's the last point I want to make. I'm stoked that the Lord picked me to be born and grow up in Australia. I'm stoked. I really am. However, we're in a cycle in Australia. And the lucky country stuff, all the stuff we've inherited from the boomers and prior to just an amazing place to live, really. But a cycle was changing. And we actually have to transcend the "she'll be right, mate, no worries, mate." Because what happens is that we actually have to lift our game in an area. This is something in the realm of the Spirit that we have to catch as a church, and the church has to catch it. Let's go into Revelation 4:11. This will be the last scripture. This is around the throne. "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." To receive glory, honor, power. We know that the word for glory in the old covenant is kabod, which means weight, exceeding splendor, but weight. Something's weighty, not heavy per se, but weight. The New Testament word is doxa. So that means, what's interesting, it does mean excellent splendor, copious and overflowing. But what's really interesting, the word that most closely corresponds with glory, because everyone goes, "I want the glory. I want to experience the glory. I've experienced the glory. That's how I came to Christ. If you've been an absolute dirty, rotten scoundrel in my house, an intercessor comes in and witnesses to me, and the supernatural cloud of heaven manifests on me, I'm like, I've just gone from atheist to believing there's a God. Like, that's a good day, right? And I'm just like this. People go, "Yeah, I want that too. And amazing things happen in the glory. Time isn't the same and everything's instant. I want the glory." Well, what happens, the word that's most closely corresponding to glory is honor. And a lot of people want glory, but they don't want honor. They don't want to live in honor. And that's something. See, if you think, if glory is weight, then dishonor means to make light of something. We're always taking the mickey out of everything. Now, I'm not saying that we have to have a corporate lobotomy of senses of humor. I love to laugh. But I'll tell you what's happened in this season. I had to repent before the Lord about going after and naming heads of nations. You know, I mean, what's there not to mock with someone like Joe Biden? But also, you can't do that, Todd. You can't. You cannot trade in honor if you're going after people and naming people and doing parody and caricatures. As pathetic as it is, I had to repent of that. Of going after Scott Morrison, Anthony Albanese. Now, these aren't hard things. But the Lord says, you cannot trade in that. Then I started to see this. This is my opinion now. I'm giving you my opinion. I have followed politics for quite a while. I don't know anyone close to Donald Trump, right? As I say, he is my favorite narcissist. The economy turning around, borders. We're talking unemployment rates, you know, for African Americans especially. We're talking, that guy did miracles in 4 years with an administration like Swiss cheese, undermining him the whole time. What that guy did. And then the fact that people still not sure if he was a good president. I'm going, what? And here's the deal. One of his Achilles heel is he carries hectic dishonor. He's always going after his opponents. I mean, hey, you know, I think he went easy on Hillary. But the point being is this. When you hold a high gate and you are just dishonor, come out, what happens? Retaliation will come back tenfold. I'm not talking about him being a chicken, because he's not. But he's a historical figure, and there is. Do you know what? Just that lashback. The fact that this is real, Trump derangement syndrome. It's actually real. This guy turned your country around in one term. Not perfect, But then you've got all these other people who are professional bureaucrats. There was no wars when he was in power. That's a big thing, just that. But it's because of the dishonor, he reaped it sevenfold at least. In Australia, if we're going to cross thresholds, we cannot be hungering for glory but living in dishonor. And we honor God by keeping our word to him. We honor him with our giving, our time, etc. But one of the major ways to honor God is giving honor to other people. You can't be like, God, you're amazing. Eh. We actually have to honor our fellow men. And it says, give honor where honor's due, not favoritism. But this is such a big deal, because if we, see, this is, look, the Lord's Prayer, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is how it works. God says, I want you to create a pattern here that looks like heaven. When you create something that looks like heaven, heaven can land on it. But we've been taught the opposite. It gets worse and worse and worse and worse, and then heaven will fall. We've actually got to be the ones that create that culture of belief and purity and honor, and make the crooked ways straight. But we've got to be healed or repent of being. This is probably what happened to Isaiah. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. Was he coloring the air blue with his foul language? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe in the midst of a people with unclean lips, maybe he just was sarcastic, or he exaggerated, or didn't keep his word. And he says, woe is me, I am undone, I'm a man of unclean lips. And so this is what God is bringing to us this year, a threshold year, to break cycles of repetition. We don't want to shrink back. We're crossing the threshold, will cost us more. I tell you what, are you ready for this? If you get this right, and I'm saying this is in Christ, okay, this is not a works program, this is not dead works. For what you're called to do, if God is for you, who can be against you? If God is for you, who can be against you? This is what's so exciting. All the toil and the white knuckle, I'm just willing. No. Focus on the right thing. Promotion comes with blessing. Promotion, it comes with wisdom. And this is where God's calling us, but we have to especially turn it around. We can't constantly be in a spirit of dishonor and expect glory. And that's what God's calling us to repent of. Who knows that's the word of the Lord? And I'll tell you what, right now, I'm not talking about, this is the last thing I'll say. Now, what I'm going to say is going to be a bit sharp. But no one in here, you guys are all good. Just you guys behind the yellow light. Number one, we're called to honor God before anybody. That's the whole point. And it actually says, honor your parents, so it'll be well with you. First command with a promise. The second thing is that there's some cultures where they honor their parents above God. So little Johnny is called to go into the ministry, but mum and dad don't want the ministry because they come from a background of poverty, so they want him to do 20 hours a week of piano lessons and become a lawyer or a doctor. And Johnny is more afraid of his parents than the Lord, so he has elevated the parents before God. It's not about honor for honor's sake, it's about honoring the Lord and understanding what it is to honor other people. Then you have other cultures like ours, where we do not give kids any discipline or boundaries. We don't want to hurt their feelings. And we honor kids above the Lord. We've got to get the honor of God first, and then give due honor to in a cascading hierarchy per se. This is really important. This is where God is taking us. Because right now you go glory, honor, and power. And I believe that you can touch a realm of glory if your inner world gets reorientated to honoring the Lord. Can someone say amen? Praise God. Can you put on the worship pads, please? Get your communion out. I won't get the band up, obviously. For some of you going to Moonta at 12 o'clock, we ride. Okay. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Isn't that fascinating? That we can miss manifestations of glory in this country if we never, ever, ever transcend a culture of dishonor. I'm not talking about let's go overboard with flattery, quid pro quo, greasing someone's wheels, trading for, I'm not saying that. There's got to be a place where we see people through a lens of the Lord and saying, Lord, I am honoring your creation. I'm honoring your children, but Lord, I honor you. Because there'll be a time where God will call you to make a decision, because honoring the Lord might not be compatible with honoring people in that situation. So this is something that we need. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, thank you. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to pray over you guys and then we're going to have communion. Now, something is happening to our congregation around this, the fear of the Lord, all these different things. But I want you to start to see this. This is not a teaching series. This is something that's opening up in the Spirit. Who's completely hungry to go over the threshold? Come on. I don't want to get stuck in this. And I've got my own personal stuff plus the church stuff. But I'll tell you what right now, when you do it God's way, there's joy. There's a level of ease. But going through the threshold is sacrifice, because you can't tackle the junk on the other side. Praise God. I'm going to pray over you guys and we'll have communion. Lord, I thank you today. Thank you today for opening our eyes and our minds and our spirits. I just thank you. I thank you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we honor you for your sacrifice on the cross. We honor you for dying on the cross for our sins. We honor you for shedding your blood. And we just thank you right now that you are building a throne of honor, firstly in Adelaide and then in Australia. I thank you for reformation. I thank you we're being delivered from making light of everything. I thank you for the spirit of promotion. Bless this communion to our body in Jesus' name, amen.